Let's shift gears to a segment that I always find energizing on HN, the stories where the community's deep technical roots show up in the most unexpected places. Today we have memory safe context switching, Zigspear Vive backend, Linux running on a Sega Mega Drive, the old computer challenge, an exploration of PDP-1 Lisp from 1960, and someone building an octocopter from scratch with no prior hardware experience.
I want to start with the memory safe context switching project because it's technically consequential, even if it got a more modest score, 146 points, 25 comments. The PhilC project is implementing context switches, that fundamental operating system's operation where the CPU saves one process's state and loads another's, in a way that's memory safe by construction. In traditional systems code, context switching is written in assembly or very low-level C, precisely because it needs direct control over register state. The PhilC approach is exploring whether you can get that same control through a language runtime that doesn't permit the memory safety violations that have historically made systems code so exploitable.
The significance is that context switching code is one of the last bastions of we have to write this in unsafe language because there's no alternative. If PhilC's approach holds up under scrutiny, it becomes an argument for memory safe systems programming all the way down to the kernel adjacent layer. The Rust community has been making adjacent arguments with Rust for Linux contributions. This is a different approach, and the HN thread has a productive debate about the trade-offs.
Then there's the Zigspear Vive backend progress report. 75 points, 38 comments. For people who haven't been following Zig, it's a systems programming language that aims to replace C in contexts where you need manual memory management and predictable performance. SpearV is the intermediate representation used by Vulkan and other modern graphics and compute APIs. Getting Zig to compile to SpearV means you could write GPU compute kernels in Zig rather than GLSL, HLSL, or CUDA, which is meaningful for developers who want a single language across CPU and GPU code paths. The progress report is detailed and shows real movement on this, which the HN community finds exciting given that SpireV support has been on the Zig roadmap for years.
This connects neatly to the CUDA kernel story. 264 points, 31 comments, which is an educational deep dive into what actually happens when you run a GPU kernel. The post walks through the entire stack, how CUDA code gets compiled, how the PTX intermediate representation works, how the CUDA driver schedules work on the GPU's streaming multiprocessors, how memory hierarchies interact with execution. It's exactly the kind of foundational explainer that demystifies GPU programming for people who've been treating it as a black box.
And then there's the absolute delight of Linux running on a Sega Mega Drive. 126 points, 15 comments. The Mega Drive, known as the Genesis in North America, shipped in 1989, with a Motorola 68000 CPU running at 7.6 MHz and 64 kilobytes of RAM. The LinuxMD project is getting a minimal Linux kernel to boot on this hardware, which is technically an extraordinary achievement. It requires stripping Linux down to almost nothing, handling memory constraints that modern embedded developers would consider laughable, and working around hardware that was designed with no concept of a general-purpose operating system.
The HN comments are the right mix of, why would you do this? And I respect that someone did this. The answer to why is the same as it's always been for these projects. Because the constraints force you to understand things at a level of depth that modern abstraction layers hide from you. Someone who gets Linux booting on a Mega Drive understands memory management, process scheduling, and device drivers in a way that no amount of cloud deployment experience provides.
The old computer challenge ties in perfectly, 72 points, 30 comments. This is an annual challenge where participants commit to using a computer with 512 megabytes of RAM or less as their primary machine for 1 week. The point isn't nostalgia. It's that working within tight constraints surfaces assumptions about what software actually needs to be functional. People who do this regularly report coming away with a much sharper eye for software bloat in their everyday tools.
And then there's the PDP-1 Lisp exploration from 1960. 84 points, 21 comments. Someone has been digging through the original implementation of Lisp on the PDP-1. which was one of the first interactive computers. This matters because 2026 is a LISP anniversary year. McCarthy's original paper is approaching 68 years old, and the PDP-1 implementation is the ur-text of interactive computing. Seeing how a programming language was bootstrapped on hardware with a total of 4,096 18-bit words of memory is a meditation on what computing fundamentally is, stripped of every abstraction we now take for granted.
The octocopter build is the human story in this segment, 64 points, 15 comments. Carolina McDubiel documented building a custom 8-rotor drone from scratch with no prior hardware experience. The write-up is detailed, honest about failures, and genuinely instructive. What makes it HN-worthy isn't the outcome. The drone does fly. It's the documentation of a learning process that shows how someone with software skills but no hardware background navigates an unfamiliar domain. That kind of knowledge transfer writing is undervalued.